My name is Roger Metz, and I'll be your host for the next hour. I appreciate you spending part of this Saturday with me. And remember, you can listen to this show on your FM dial. Download the free 94.5 Conservative Talk app, or listen live streaming at the www.conservativetalk945.com. Just look on the right side of the webpage, click the Listen Live link. Did anybody go down to Columbia last Sunday for the final weigh-in of the FLW Cup? If you did, you know it was probably one of the best ones ever. If you didn't, you really missed out on a day to, oh, and there comes the rain. Boy, it's pouring. If you did not go, you missed out on a really fun day. We're going to talk about that later on in the show. And to help me out, I have my oldest daughter, Jordan, here in the studio with me.
Hey.
She is, as of yet, I have not found any copies of FLW Outdoors, Bassmaster Classic, or any of those magazines in her room. So you're going to get the unvarnished opinion of a day at the expo. And I appreciate her coming on. Like I said, she cares nothing about bass boats, bass fishing tackle, bass pros, barbecue competitions, or anything else. In fact, I had to bribe her with a free Rodney Atkins concert to get her to go. But we all sacrificed something to go together as a family, and it turned into one of those days we'll talk about for years. So we'll get to that later. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Sunday I was in Columbia. Thursday night and Friday morning I was in Georgetown, South Carolina for the 5th annual Georgetown Tarpon Tournament. It was, how many of you out there know that South Carolina even has a tarpon fishery? I know, but it's only because some of the guides that I'm friends with in Charleston put up pictures and videos of them. I've never fished down off our coast. I fished a lot in the Everglades for tarpon. But anyway, it was one of those moments. I'm walking around ICAST and I went by the Bonefish and Tarpon Trust booth and I really just wanted a sticker, but I ended up talking to the guy and, one of the wrong person, right place situations. Got an email from them a few weeks ago. They said, look, we are sending our juvenile tarpon biologist to Georgetown. We'd love for you to come down, meet her, talk to her, give us some exposure on the radio, what we're doing in South Carolina. So I went down. I said, look, I'm not your guy on tarpon fishing. I said, but I know people, and I know a lot of those guys in Charleston who tarpon fish this time of the year. So lucky for me, most of them were going to Georgetown anyway. So I was just there kind of to make an introduction to the biologist, to the guys that know how to tarpon fish. And I just kind of sat back and listened. Really interesting. I know Joe Ellen is getting some good DNA from yesterday's fish because they keep putting up those pictures of tarpon. And I just saw one that had been caught today. So that's probably 5 or 6 tarpon have been caught for the tournament. Once she gets back to Florida, gets settled back in, we're going to have her on the show because this is something that, hey, if you get out on the coast, she's looking for any interaction with tarpon you might have, catching juveniles in cast nets, or if you're seeing them rolling off the beach, what time, how big, that sort of thing. So she's going to be on there with us sometime in September. As if that's not enough, I also jumped into the world of archery this week. I have a sponsor on the show, Jeffrey Archery in Columbia. And for several years now, my brother Paul and I have had visions of a Colorado bow hunt for elk. But one big problem, neither one of us own a bow. So we met up down in Columbia at Tom Jeffries Pro Shop and let those guys size us up. They gave us a lesson on how to hold and shoot a bow, except the lesson came after they let me shoot one and raised up a pretty decent welt on the inside of my forearm from the first shot. I'm pretty sure that was planned because they had a pretty good laugh when it happened, and he said, I bet you'll never do that again. I guess that's benefits of being a sponsor of this show. Even Hank Parker had a couple of good laughs at the bruise on my arm, and it got 7 or 8 inches long by the time it started going away. But Tom and his guys let us shoot a couple of different bows, different sights, different draw weights, and then kind of let us just pick which one felt better. And when it comes down to bows, that's pretty much what you make your decision on. They all shoot about the same speed within a given set of parameters. Went by and picked them up Wednesday, shot 18 arrows, and some of my arrows have scrub marks from where I was hitting. I wasn't Robin Hooding the arrows quite yet, but I was hitting my own arrows. They were grouping that tight at 20 yards, which is amazing because I have never shot a compound bow before. Maybe it was just luck, but 3 groups of 6 arrows, and Tom said, you might want to back off and just shoot 2 or 3 from now because you're going to start ruining arrows if you're shooting that good. So any advice you have for a beginner, Please let me know because I need all the help I can get. The show today, I'm going to talk about Sunday's FLW Championship from Jordan's perspective. I'll chime in and add some of what I liked. And then there are a literal ton of Department of Natural Resources hunts that are out there for you to apply for. There's deer hunts, there's dove hunts. And we're going to spend a good bit of time on those so you know what's out there to do. And those hunts are normally, for the most part, they're free, especially their kids hunt. There are some draw hunts that cost you a little bit, but we're going to talk about those. So if you spend any time at the FLW Cup last week, give me a call. Numbers 235-9405, 877-235-9405. If you don't want to go on the air, Dave will take a message and send it to my screen. First up on the calendar is a happy birthday. The federal duck stamp turned 80 years old yesterday. August 22nd, 1934, the first duck stamp was sold. Since then, thanks mostly to hunters and a few collectors, the stamps have generated more than $800 million and helped secure 6 million acres of wetland habitat in the U.S. That's quite an accomplishment for something that hunters decided they needed to put upon themselves to turn around the direction of the duck population in the early 30s. So, happy birthday, duck stamp. I'm working on something a little more down the road to get some more impact on exactly how the duck stamp has come about and what it's done for us. I do have a little thing here. I get these emails from Spot the Station. The International Space Station is going to be over our area, Greenville area, tonight, 9:10, coming from northwest, east, southeast. But if it stays cloudy, you won't have to worry about that. But it's really cool. If you've never spotted the space station, you don't really have to look at it. It is very bright, very evident as it comes across. This one's going to be visible for 3 minutes, so it's a pretty good time to see it if you got clear skies tonight. Labor Day weekend's coming up, and the Department of Natural Resources has scheduled courtesy boating inspections. These are free inspections. When they find a problem with you at the ramp, you don't get a ticket. You get a, go to West Marine and get what you need to make yourself legal type thing. They're going to be spread all over. August the 30th. Oh man, Lake Murray, the Cooper River, Buster Boyd Landing on Lake Wiley, Easterling Landing at Lake Robinson, the Lake Murray Dam, Leeds Avenue. Then on the 31st, the Black River, Cross Island Landing on Broad River, Rimley's Point down on the Wando and the Wapu Cut south of Charleston. So if you're going out on your boat this coming weekend, be sure to be legal. If you have any questions, stop by and let these guys check your boat out and tell you exactly what you have right or what you have wrong. There's a couple here from kind of the last gasp for the state parks this summer. Cast Netting 101. Now, most of these end the 29th, so this next week will be the last week. Cast Netting down at Hunting Island State Park. Seashell Secrets down at Edisto Beach Park. And those two, contact the state parks websites. They're free. Usually last about an hour, hour and a half or so. And it's just fun, informational things to do. The last one, though, is kind of interesting, and I've never seen this one before, but if you're going to be in Charleston, they have a Buddy Brim fishing tournament. And they're actually going to be fishing at Charlestown Landing. And they said this is the inaugural event, and it's the only day of the year you can catch fish at Charlestown Landing. And they'll have prizes. So go to the South Carolina State Parks website, check these out, and check out this Buddy Brim fishing tournament. There is a $40 team registration. But it sounds really cool. Anytime you get the chance to fish some of these places that, everybody that walks by tosses some bread in or nobody gets to fish, there's usually some good fish in there. It'd be a good time if you're in Charleston this coming weekend for the Labor Day weekend, something for you to do. I've got a few more small things going on that we'll cover after the break. So hang with me. We'll be back on the other side. A few more items on the calendar, and then we'll go on the FLW Final Championship weigh-in on Sunday. Welcome back to Woods and Water. Emphasis on the water this afternoon because it is coming down in sheets outside. If you're on Wade Hampton Boulevard, be careful. It's really raining out there. Couple more events for the calendar. Thursday, September the 4th at 5:45, the Spartanburg Friends of the NRA are having their annual banquet. This is the one that we used to go to. We always had a great time doing it. In fact, my brother and I were alternating treasurers for this event for years. Good organization to support the National Rifle Association. Again, that's September 4th at 5:45. Tickets are $35 in advance. They do say there's limited seating. And of course you can, you know, preferred seating, buying a table and that sort of thing. The prices are all there. There is a flyer out there. If you just Google Spartanburg Friends of the NRA, you will come up and see the PDF flyer. Lots of good door prizes, auction silence, that sort of things. Then a really good one. I told you that, the Apple, Skytop Orchards is open. Well, we have our own 53rd annual South Carolina Apple Festival coming up. And it's going to be, would you believe I don't have a place it's going to be? Anyway, since I don't have it, maybe you can Google it. The 53rd South Carolina Apple Festival, Saturday, August 23rd, all the way through Saturday, September the 6th. So they've got some events starting early, but then the real, it says Historic Westminster Depot is some of these things. So this is upstate, which I thought it was. So evidently Westminster, South Carolina is the place, West Oak High School. Anyway, September 5th and 6th are going to be the big days. Mechanical bull rides, rock climbing for the kids. They're going to have a run, food vendors. So in downtown Westminster. So make your plans. I'm sure they'll have lots of apple things to eat. And they're going to have a quilt show too, which is going to be really neat. So make plans. You got a whole week to enjoy apples down in Historic Westminster. And finally, September the 6th in Clover, South Carolina at the Clover Community Park, we're going to have a Butts and Bluegrass Festival. Bluegrass Barbecue Festival, excuse me. This is a South Carolina Barbecue Association event. And they're going to have, of course, there'll be bluegrass music, kids zones, and some of the best barbecue you've ever had. And boy, let me tell you what, Sunday down in Columbia, some of the ribs I had were just incredible. And I wanted to buy some sauce, and the guy says, I don't sell it because it's too expensive to make. So when you get these, when you hear these barbecue association things coming up, this is your chance to get some barbecue that you'll never be able to buy in a restaurant. And it's cooked right there and sold right there. And it is just, it's off the chart. I love them. That's all for the calendar events. I'll be putting these up on the Facebook page and the website. I know I forgot to do that last week and I apologize. It was just, I just did not have enough time to get everything I needed done. So check out the events there. Post up your event. Send me an email. Roger@woodsandwaterSC.com. If you got an event, would like for it to be on the calendar, I'd love to get it out there for you. I have people sending me events, so the calendar I thought was going to get kind of slim this fall looks like it's going to be pretty good. And I have to admit this, but Dave is working to get Woods and Water South Carolina on Instagram with the link to Twitter. I can't believe I just said that word. Although he assures me that I never have to go on Twitter and tweet. So as long as he can promise me that, I'm good. I can live with it. Hope y'all can too, and I hope you'll follow and keep up with us, whatever type social media you do. I appreciate all of it. All right. The FLW last Sunday. Did you have a good time?
I had a very good time.
And you're, just to make sure, you're not a closet bass pro junkie or anything like that, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so things haven't changed in the last 3 or 4 years.
No.
Okay, good. Jordan and I used to do a lot of things outdoors together, and about 4 years ago, it was just like the light switch went off. Thunk. And I remember we were in Shem Creek fishing. The wind was kind of up, and we buried ourselves back in Shem Creek down in Mount Pleasant. And I was talking to her and fishing off the back of the boat, and I thought she was listening, and I never got a response. And I turned around, and she's got, curses of all curses, the earplugs from the iPod in her ears and a book out. And I said, okay, that was fun. And I tell you, I made a mistake. I kind of said, okay, if she's not going to interested in doing what I wanted to do, I'll just go off on my own and do my thing over here. And I lost 2 years of time we could have been spending together, because when we saved for a couple of years and I took you to Alaska, we discovered that we had a ball hiking together. we hiked in Alaska.
We hiked to glaciers and to streams, and I went fly fishing. So
she compromised and fly fished for me on the Russian River. But when we got back home from that trip, we've continued that hiking time together. And yeah. I think, you know, that those couple of years that I lost there, not her fault. I mean, she was just moving on with her personality, and her personality is a book and a coffee and a fire. And I just kind of took my little hurt pride over here and said, I'm just going to go over here and sulk a little bit and go hunting and fishing by myself when I should have found something we could do together. We have a plan this fall. We're going to do waterfall series in South Carolina.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. We were actually out hiking last year. It was 15 degrees up in the mountains. We were out hiking all day long. It was so much fun. Okay. FLW. We all compromised. I was sitting there watching the weigh-in live on FLW TV. And when Brian Thrift, Casey Ashley, and Anthony Gagliardi, the two South Carolina pros and the North Carolina pro in the final 10, when they made it into Sunday, I looked at Debbie and I says, I need to be there. And I started figuring out, I got to leave here at 3 o'clock in the morning, got to get, make sure I can get a media boat for the day, and da, 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 and it didn't happen. You know what? I'm glad it didn't, because if it had all worked out, I'd have been down there by myself, met the girls at the arena, and we would not have had near the time we had together. So I backed off and said, nope, I told y'all we're going to have a family day. We did, and it was a great one. What'd you compromise on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I wasn't looking forward to the whole bass fishing area of it, but we did the concert that Rodney Atkins put on, and that was
the hook to get you to go with as a family. Well, and it worked too. It really worked. Yeah. So anyway, we took off from here last Sunday morning. My three girls, the three women of my life, went down. We first went to Drew Island State Park and went for, I knew Taylor would love to go for a boat ride, and that was going to be my little thing I did for her, because they were giving rides. Evan Root has this new G2 motor out, and they were going to ride. So I figured that would be my Taylor thing that she would. And you went. Now, what changed? Because you were not going to go on the boat ride.
I just never really thought about it. I just said, okay, this is Taylor's thing that she's going to do with Dad. And then I was like, but I really like going fast on Dad's boat, so I went fast on the other boat.
There you go. You know, it's the things carry through from experiences prior and all that. How fast did we go?
We went almost 70 miles an hour.
Which was not even pushing that motor. I'm sure that motor was, that was one of those 85 mile an hour motors, I'm sure. But it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I don't know, you know, they said it took 6 months just to design some kind of foot or something. They have to have a new prop for and everything. It's a really, you know, they say it's going to save you 30% gas, 30% oil, but the motor itself is probably $30,000. I don't know. But anyway, it's really cool, really quiet. And we were going 70 miles an hour. You could, I mean, this motor's 2 feet behind you and you couldn't hear it.
Yeah, I could talk to you. I could have a conversation to you.
Yes.
Without hearing the noise of the motor.
Incredible. Just absolutely incredible what we've got out there these days. And like I said, I've been out of bass fishing for 15 years. It's all been saltwater fishing. So this is my first comeback into what I enjoyed growing up. And it's been fun. Barbecue.
That was some good barbecue.
Boy, that was some. I had some ribs that I just, oh. And the sauces, because these guys are down here making their own sauces. And we asked one guy, he was from Lexington, where they know how to do mustard-based barbecue, let me tell you what. And he had a sauce, and we tried to buy some. He goes, I can't sell it. He said, it's too expensive to make to sell. People would not buy it for what I've got in it. But it was really good. So the barbecue was kind of, that was kind of just a little. I hope it went well for him. I talked to Mike Horn while we were down there. He's a master judge with the South Carolina Barbecue Association, and he said it went great. By the amount of people getting food, I would say it went great, and the food we had was just out of this world.
Yeah, and the people were so nice too. I mean, we'd just go by and they'd be like, come have some barbecue, and
that's
just start
right.
a conversation with
that's
you.
That's right. A lot of them would give you just a little sample, but then they had, you know, baskets and burgers and that sort of, or sandwiches for you to buy and that sort of thing. But yeah, they were really, the flip side, it was really hot.
It was.
Columbia in August is just going to be hot. I'm sorry. And none of y'all like the heat unless it's the beach or the pool.
Right.
But you did well. I appreciate you not complaining. I know Taylor got a little overheated and she didn't have the best time as when we were outside. And then of course, when you're inside, you don't think about a child, but their perspective of all the tall people around you, she got a little claustrophobic inside, but I appreciate y'all putting up with the heat and the barbecue to get to where we went. The expo. You know, I've seen my share of fishing tackle, I've got my share of fishing tackle left over when I used to fish. And I don't really pay much attention to that. Although, you know, people say, hey, here's a new rod. Check it out. And okay, it's a new rod. It's nice. Everything is different color and nicer than what it used to be. So it really doesn't impress me as much as if I was still doing it a lot. But there were lots of other things at the expo besides fishing tackle.
Yeah, they had t-shirt booths, and I love some of the t-shirts that were down there. And they had food booths, and they had barbecue booths, and they were giving out a lot of free stuff.
They were. If you wanted koozies or hats or water bottles or anything like that, there was plenty of that for the giving. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Your sister made out a little bit better than everybody
else did, didn't she? We would go past these booths, and this one guy, he came over, and he was like, I bet you like going fishing. And she's like, yes. And he was like, well, here's a tackle box for you.
Yeah. You know, nobody ever pulled me aside and gave me a tackle box. I guess that's 10 years old, blue eyes, blonde hair is working for you right there. I think I need to take her to the next one of these and just see how much stuff I can get through her. That's bad. I didn't say that. I would never think that. But yeah, there was lots of other things there. There were activities for kids. You know, outside before we went in the expo, there was the take one, make one with Department of Natural Resources, had a little archery range shooting foam head arrows. You know, there was a casting pond for kids out there. There was a casting pond indoors. Academy Sports had an indoor casting pond that was going on. So, I just got a text from my wife. They have just come out with a knotless hook. If you can believe that. You don't have to tie on to a hook eye anymore. They have taken a hook and they put this little, welded a little, I don't know, maybe a piece of number 8 shot size steel to the hook. And you loop your line around the hook and wrap it around the shank, and you don't have to tie hooks. Now you say, what's wrong with tying hooks? Well, every knot you tie on a piece of fishing line is a weak point. So if you have a connection directly to a hook and you don't have a knot there, then you don't have a weak point, even with braid, especially with mono. Mono, you always have a weak point at a knot. That's why you don't like knots in your line, because that's, you know, the line against line will cut itself. So this was a knotless hook, which I thought was pretty cool. And I assume at some point I'll probably have some. But yeah, that was one of those things that even impressed my wife. You know, there you go. My wife, who just kind of puts up with this stuff that I do all the time, it impressed her. So who knows what it would have meant to somebody else who would have actually bought some of them. They were for sale. Most of this stuff for sale. The fishing tackle, you got it. The t-shirts for sale. What else do you get to do in the expo?
Well, they had the fishing ponds
thing.
The Academy Sports was doing a little fishing thing, and you casted your line and tried to get a magnet to a washer.
Yeah, and they were giving away $1,000.
Yeah, they were.
The South Carolina University fishing team was giving away a $500 Visa gift card. Lots of stuff like that. I know I volunteered at the DNR paint a fish booth, where your kids could go paint a booth and you rub the paper over it. I assume you're too old to do that. And Taylor was above that for, you know, she's past that stage, but, lots of things to do. And the whole reason we're doing this, if you thought about going, oh, hey, we have the bass thing coming up here in February in Greenville. You know, it's about bass fishing, and there's a lot of that around. You'll see more jerseys with names on it you've ever seen before. But it's more than that. It's a chance for family to get out, have a good time together. And hey, you never know what you're going to enjoy in these things. So back on the other side, we'll cover a little bit more. Hang with us. What a great song, Asia. Boy, does that bring back some memories. I'll refrain from playing the drums on the, there we go. Okay, I did just a little bit. you're back, and this is Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz, and I've got my daughter Jordan here. We're talking about the FLW Cup in Columbia. And I got a text from a friend, and he said, FLW, should the average listener know what that means? I really don't want to say what my average listener might or might know, but FLW, Ed, it stands for Forest L Woods. It's actually the Walmart FLW Tour. Walmart's the big sponsor. And back about 15 years ago or so, they renamed it the FLW Tour in honor of Forrest L. Woods. And Forrest L. Woods is the founder of Ranger Bass Boats. And if any bass boat that's out there is really a knockoff on Ranger, because he was designing these things back in the 70s. And I talked to he and his wife, Nina, several times over the last week. And boy, one of these days I'm going to get him to tell you what 1971 was like for them. It was just one of those bad threes during the year. And Nina said, I've never been so glad to see 1972 get here. So, and you and Taylor actually got to meet them.
We did. Yeah. They had a meet and greet with
right.
the two of them, and we went up to, there's a line to meet Forrest Woods, but we went up to Nina because you had been talking to her every day that week.
I have.
And we came up to her and you started talking to her. She came up to us and she gave me and Taylor and Mom a hug. I got three hugs within 15 minutes of meeting her.
She is just one of those magnetic personality ladies that just every time I got close to her, it just seemed like I was talking to her. And she's just immediately, because I told her about my family and all, and that was just like, you're part of the family now. So you got to meet them, got your picture and autographs and all. And then we had to wait in line for
Rodney Atkins,
who around our house now we have to say R.A. He's not Rodney Atkins. Oh, we went to the R.A. concert or R.A.'s. Okay. So we did all of that and you got your autograph and pictures. We did. Little did we know that he would be bouncing around backstage, that evening, and the girls had already gotten there, so I kind of went backstage and talked to him for a minute, got my picture. So I didn't have to stand in line. I just walked up to him and said, how you doing, Rodney? And it was really cool. I know this happens, but you got introduced to more people that you've never seen before, that I'd met once or twice or reconnected with guests on the show, and that's when you got to meet all those people. Does that ever make you uncomfortable?
I mean, it doesn't, because, I mean, all the people that I've talked to that have been, like, mutual friends with you, you've met them, they've been all very nice people, and I told you you knew too many people.
I do. One day that's going to come back to haunt me, but, you know, right now it's not. So anyway, got the expo. Okay, concert. Now, I know I'm a little different because I do have media credentials, and we got to go down on the floor for the concert where I sat all week during the weigh-ins and all, and it's right there at the catwalk and all. So the concert for you was the big draw, and I just go ahead, give us a minute or so on the concert.
Well, we got to the arena
right.
where we were having the weigh-in and the concert, and we got there about an hour before the concert started, and so we got our seats, and I sat right on the catwalk, and Taylor was sitting next to me, and we were waiting, and they showed the video from the morning, and we were waiting, and all of a sudden it started, and the lights were dim, and you saw him walking up on stage, and Taylor was like, grab my arm, she's like, Jordan, he's here. So that was a lot of fun. Well, during one of his songs, he was walking down the two catwalks and he walked right past us and he like stopped on the stage and looked directly at me and Taylor and started like singing to us. And then he flipped his guitar pick at us and it was amazing.
Yeah. We had a mutual swoon and then a small brief scuffle for the pick. Now, like I said, this was a little different. They got down on the media floor with me, but seriously, if you were anywhere in the arena, you had a good seat for that concert. It only holds 18,000 people. Mm-hmm. And he was walking down the catwalks, and it wasn't like you were looking at one end all the time because he was going side to side. It was really cool to be that close to him and all that, but that was a great concert.
It was a really good concert.
And he sings a song, by the way, that's called
Take a back road.
I need to get a hold of him, see if I can't use that in my ending. Have him say it for me. And don't forget to take the back roads. So, and he actually sings a lot more songs than I remember him singing. The one about the little boy and the McNuggets and all mm-hmm. that was a really good one. Just some good wholesome songs. You know, but it was a great show. I'm not a big concert goer, but it was good. I really had a good time and yes, from all the reviews, you had a good time too.
I did.
You and Mom did too.
Yes, she did.
She enjoyed it too. The seats, being backstage, yeah, we get all that. The weigh-in. Okay. This is the part where it gets kind of tough for people that don't know anything about bass fishing. the weigh-in is where the pros bring their fish up on stage. And this was a clear weigh-in. They had a clear box for this one. During the week, it was just in a bag and sitting inside a tray. But they actually had a clear box so you could actually see the fish swimming around the weigh-in tank. The first guy was Steve Kennedy. He was in 10th place at the start of the day. He just barely made the cut to 10. And he came in and weighed 20 pounds, 2 ounces. And went to 50 pounds and 1 ounce. And I mean,
that was crazy.
And you're not, okay, you are not a bass fishing person.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Yes.
But it got you.
It did.
From the beginning.
Yeah. It did. Because, I mean, it was so much excitement. Like, you could feel, like, the energy coming out of the room.
They did a really good job of really hyping it and getting it going and all with the way they have people sitting up on stage and all. So, Anthony Kennedy comes in, weighs in 20 pounds, and goes to number one. Just boom. Just like that. And everybody else is sitting 36, 37 pounds. So, you knew whoever wins this thing is going to have to come in with 14 or 15 pounds. So, and all week long, the bags had been 8 pounds, 9 pounds, 13. You had a 17 thrown in there, but that was just a blip. Next day, I think he had 8. So you knew it was going to be interesting, and it just kept getting better. Casey Anthony came in. He weighed in. He weighed in 5th, and he briefly sat up there at number 1, and the place just went nuts. In fact, when he got on stage, the whole place went nuts for an extended period of time. Casey Anthony is from Donald, South Carolina, kind of the hometown hero. Next to Anthony Gagliardi, so it really was something from there.
It was. I mean, as soon as he got up on stage, it was like people started standing up and clapping for him.
Oh, yeah.
And he was.
He was eating it up,
yeah,
too.
He
did a good job of bringing it out. Brian Thrift, who started today in 2nd, so close, but he only weighed in 3 fish. And you actually felt, I felt bad for him because he's been there before. So the big one comes up, which is Anthony Gagliardi, and he needs 13 pounds, 14 ounces to take the lead.
And he did it.
Did you know who I was rooting for before we ever got down there?
I had heard you talking about, like, the different people, like, from South Carolina and North Carolina and Alabama.
Right.
And I wasn't sure exactly who you were rooting for, but, like, when he was up there weighing and you leaned over and you're like, this is the one I'm rooting for. This one.
Yeah. And it was just amazing. The guy from Prosperity, home Lake Murray, the season he had, he will be on this show. Anthony's going to come on this show. I'm working on something a little different than just having him call in, so it might take me a couple weeks to get it all set up. But he will be here on Woods and Water. Stay tuned for details on that one. If the other thing works out, it's going to be pretty big. But he came up there and weighed in 13 pounds for it. He weighed in exactly what he needed to take the lead, and took about 1 ounce. And you really talk about a crowd going nuts.
I know. Like, my palm, like, they were waiting for the last person.
Brent Erler is coming up last.
They put the fish in the box, and he maxed out at 5 fish, and my palms were sweating, and it was just really intense and exciting.
If you were in that arena, you were into it. Whether you like bass fishing or not, it drew you in. And it was like, okay, Brent Erler's from California, nothing against him. He's a West Coast guy. But, man, when you got somebody from South Carolina sitting on the lead with 1 ounce, you just, that's who's got to win this thing. And as soon as Brent pulled his bag out, I turned to Ron Wong, who's another media guy, and I said, Ron, he doesn't have it. And he looked at me and says, no, he doesn't. I said, the bag is just, it's too slim down the sides. There's no bulges for big fish and all that. And I said, he just didn't have it. And he didn't. He had to have 13 pounds, and he had, what, 11 something?
11, 10.
He had 5 fish, 11, 10. And amazing. Just absolutely that place. I mean, Anthony, he actually had to bend over and collect himself. I think he was about ready to pass out.
I think so.
But it was just an amazing time. Last thoughts on it?
I mean, it was, for me, not liking bass fishing, like, I'm so into it, but it was just exciting for me, and I haven't done that in forever.
You haven't been, I took you 2009 to Lake Hartwell, you were 12 years old, and I took you to that, and remember it was so cold?
It was freezing, oh my goodness.
February on Lake Hartwell, it was brutal, and she stuck it out with me all day. That's the only thing, and I think that's one of those times where she said, I don't think bass fishing's for me. But it did. It just drew you in. Final thoughts for me. You know, Anthony shook my hand when he had the trophy in his hand as he walked down the aisle. talked to him on stage as he was signing autographs about the lesson of doing right, which is something he and I will talk about when he's on the show, because he did right. No matter how much it cost him, he did the right thing up front, and you may not win $500,000 like that, but it pays to do right. Got a picture of him signing a media card, a picture of Taylor and I with him. So, listen to this. Dave, you're the man. Bring it up. We'll see you on the other side. Welcome back. Dave, you're the man. No matter what everybody else says about you, you're the man. That was just great. It's what you have when you had a guy on the other side who's just on the ball. The whole reason we spent that time with Jordan, I appreciate her being here. You know, we've got things like this coming to South Carolina. You know, the FLW Cup may not be back for 5 years, 6 years, but we do have the BASS Championship in February. Encourage you. Yes, you may not be all about bass fishing, but it's not all about bass fishing. It's about so much more. And you never know what somebody else in your family is liable to enjoy, like mine. Had no idea Jordan go for a bass boat ride. Had no idea she'd be that into a weigh-in after being so far into the Rodney Atkins concert. So get outside your box a little bit, parents. Go do some of the stuff with your family. You may have a bad time, but you're spending it together, and chances are you won't have a bad time. You're going to have a great time together. So take it for what it's worth and get out there and do some of this stuff. All right, I want to cover, there are lots of hunts available to South Carolina residents coming up here. There are dove hunts. There's like 5 youth hunts. Now, dove season is coming up. Opens Monday, Labor Day. The State Fields hunt on the 6th, which is Saturday. There are 5 or 6 youth hunts. You can go on the Department of Natural Resources webpage and find those youth hunts. They're free, application only type things. There are 50 first come, first serve public fields in South Carolina. Now, a little upsetting this year because they did away with the draw process. There were several fields around the state, such as Draper, and we had Ken Fleming on talking about the Draper field earlier this year. You know, it was a draw hunt. They actually had an adult side draw hunt and a youth size draw hunt. And they did away with all the draw hunts as far as that goes. Now there are some kids hunts they're putting on, but, and they're not, there are a lot of people that aren't happy with that decision. A lot of the technicians and buyers I've talked to don't like it because now it's a free for all. Whereas before on opening day, you kind of had time to calm everybody down, talk about safety, space, where to shoot, what to shoot, that sort of thing. And we covered a little bit last week. So anyways, you get out there on these 50 fields and they're spread from Abbeville to Lawrence to Berkeley County to Florence, Georgetown. There's one field in Greenville. Let me find it. Let's see. Oops. Oh, well, it's here somewhere. It's up in the mountains. So it might be Pickens, actually. Chester County, Spartanburg County, Sumter. They're spread all over. They're normally, these are very good fields. I have been to a lot of public fields over the years. For 15 years, I put on my own dove hunt at the farm. But over the past few years, now that we have pine trees, I've had to go to these public fields if I didn't get an invite to go somewhere else. And yes, you get out there at lunchtime. It's hot. Gives you time to settle in, enjoy, meet your neighbors, be friendly about this thing. You know, dove hunting is all about the opening of hunting season. You know, talk to the guy beside you. Make sure he knows you're looking out for him. He's looking out for you. You got plenty of space between you. Somebody else comes along and say, hey, I don't think there's anybody over there. Be nice to each other out there. Don't shoot at low birds. Try not to shoot the same bird as the other guy. That's where space comes in. Let him have his 3 shots at the bird and you get your 3 shots if you're like me and then, you know, go on down the road. So get out there. Dove season to me is just one of those days that I live for all year long. This year's a little bit different because I'm going to be here. Well, the first Saturday I'll be here. So a 41 year streak may come to an end this year of being able to get out on opening day. I'm going to try to work in something during the week. There's even one field all the way down in Cracker Neck, which is 2.5 hours from here, that shoots on Wednesday. So I may be going there to keep my streak alive. We'll just have to see. But anyway, dove season opens up. Be careful. There are youth hunts out there. Look at the DNR website to find those. One of them is in Union County, right down the road here. You know, you have to accompany the youth by an older adult. The adult cannot shoot. 17 years and younger, you must be accompanied by an adult, 21 years or older. And the adult needs to stay in the field with the youth at all times. So get out there. Herbert Field, it says 40 acres of sunflower, corn, and brown top. And if you have any questions about these fields, you want to know if a field in your area is good, call them. Every field on this thing has a contact number that you can call and ask, how's the field doing? And I encourage you to do that, because sometimes one field is better than the other, and the technicians and biologists will tell you. So go do, have fun, and then call in and tell us all about it. DNR and the South Carolina Parks and Recreation Tourism have partnered together to host a free outdoor family event on September 13th in Sherall. They're having a youth fishing rodeo, kids 6 to 15, and they're also having a paddling clinic put on by the South Carolina Parks and Recreation at the Sherall State Park. So you got two simultaneous events. They have sessions from 7:30 to 9, 9:30 to 11 for the fishing, and the paddling demos 9:30 to 10:30 and 12 to 1. They're going to provide all the canoes and kayaks, life jackets and paddles. All you got to do is show up, but you have to register first for the fishing rodeo. So yeah, Sherall's a little bit of a jump, but if you're down towards Columbia and that sort of thing, what a great way to spend time with your family and your kids. Get them out fishing. It's free. They're there to help you. Get them out on the water under supervision. Teach them how to paddle and canoe and kayak and that sort of thing. So go do that. Again, courtesy of Department of Natural Resources. Last week I mentioned this, deer hunts for mobility impaired hunters to be held in the upstate. And I wanted to bring this out a little better than I got a chance to last week. There are going to be two of them, or two times. They're spread over different tracks all over the state. The hunt scheduled for October 24th and 25th in Cherokee, Spartanburg, and Union counties, and October 31st to November 1st in Lawrence and Newberry counties. You can apply for one or both. I mentioned that last week. They're free. In our family, we've had an experience with an injury that resulted in my niece in a wheelchair. And you know, she got out there. She started playing basketball. And I know she didn't think she could. She got out and started playing basketball. Absolutely loved it. She played basketball in Charlotte all through her high school years. She went to the University of Alabama and played wheelchair basketball for the University of Alabama. And now she's graduated. She's working in the Greenville Hospital System as a child life specialist. And I know it took a lot for her to get out there and do that. So if you're sitting there, and yes, you're in a wheelchair or something, you're amputee or whatever, these hunts are for you. Go ahead and get out there. You're associating with people who you have something in common with, unlike some of the others of us. They're free. They're put on there. They're there for you. They're specially set up. You know, you wheel right in or whatever you need to do. Don't sit back and let these opportunities pass you by. Get out there. Get involved. You hunted before. You never have hunted. This is something that you can do. So go and do. And you're hunting some great properties. I mean, I look down through here, Broken Arrow Hunt Club, Cross Anchor Hunt Club, and get way on down the end down here, and you recognize some of these clubs if you've been around. And I get way down here, and I see Dr. Derek Wissinger Hurricane Hunt Club. Back in 1990, Derek Wissinger and I went elk hunting in Colorado, and he is a great guy. And when I saw his name on here, I was like, kudos to him. I know he lives down in Gray Court area. He's a veterinarian down here at the Animal Hospital in Cleveland Park. Actually, I think he may not be down there anymore. He might be out in traveler's rest. But anyway, get out there and go, because you're getting an opportunity to hunt some really great places I wish I could get into. Youth deer hunts in the upstate. If you're between 10 and 15, and we had Eddie Montz with South Carolina Take One Make One on the show with us. This is not Take One, Make One, but this is an addition to that. Youth deer hunts, no cost associated. Applications are due by Monday, September the 15th. You can get them from the Union Wildlife Office. You can call and get one, or they're available on the DNR website. Let's see if it tells us where they're going to be. Okay. They're going to be Lawrence County, Spartanburg County, Union County, Cherokee County, Spartanburg, back in Lawrence, and back in Union. The Clinton House is going to host one. There will be a short training course on gun safety and time on the rifle range so they get used to the gun before the hunt. So parents, this is a great way to get your kid involved in deer hunting if that's something that they've expressed some interest in, or if you just want to get them out of the house and see what will happen. Under supervision, have the opportunity to take a deer. It says, let's see, they gave some statistics. Well, it seemed like 28 of them last year got a deer, and for a lot of them, it was their first deer. So, get them out. There's another one down in Bluefield Moultrie Hunt Unit this fall. That's down in Bono, South Carolina. It's another youth hunt. You can call the Dennis Wildlife Center in Bono, 843-761-8820, if you want to get in on a low country deer hunt. It's a little different as far as the trees and what you have around you. It's a really neat place to go. Again, a youth hunt. This was last year, 84 hunters participated, saw 200 deer, 29 of them got one, 14 of which represented the hunter's first deer ever. So these are opportunities for you to get your kids out there and get them involved. And then the last one on the list that I found at DNR website, veterans. If you're a veteran of our armed forces, they have deer hunts down at Fort Jackson. If you're active, retired, reserved, or disabled, this is in memory of Specialist Thomas Kaufman by hosting two free deer hunts, November 14th and December the 19th. Successful applicants have lunch before the hunt as an opportunity to tour the Jarrett Rifles Gun Shop and Museum. Wow. I'm sorry. It's not at Fort Jackson. This is in Jackson, South Carolina, because I know Kenny Jarrett's from down there near Estill. So, oh, this is happening at Cowden Plantation. So there again, if you're a veteran, this is just one of those small ways we can say thanks. Free deer hunt. Go do it. Man, some great opportunities out there in the great outdoors of South Carolina. Now, let me see. I got just a minute here to fill in. I guess you heard about the 1,000-pound-plus gator that they got out of Alabama. Did you hear about that one? It took them 10 hours or something like that to get this gator in. I mean, it was just an incredible, incredible thing. And I'll skip to the meat of it because I'm running up to the end. But this lady, she said if she ever drew tags, she was going to wear her pearls. So the story starts out, she's putting in her pearl necklace. They went out gator hunting. She got her tag, put the pearls around her neck. They went out and they caught a 15-foot alligator. Of course, they had to have some help getting it in and getting it out. And they had to weigh it off a backhoe, 1,011 pounds. That's a big gator. I hope none of us around here has a chance to run into that one. Okay, Chuck Norris for this week. Chuck Norris can make a slinky go up the stairs. I feel sorry for you. If you've never had a slinky, you know how impossible that is. And if you've ever had to untangle a slinky after your dog got into it, you really know what fun is. Next Saturday, fifth Saturday, that means food. The first food show we did was with Tom Horn with South Carolina Barbecue Association. It was a great one. So I was at the coast yesterday. I stopped by the quaint little fishing village of McClellanville, South Carolina, and talked to Rutledge Leland. He's the owner of Carolina Seafoods there in McClellanville. We're going to talk about fresh local seafood. And if we have some time, I've got a story on peanuts. Next weekend is Labor Day. I won't be here. I'm going to record a show, but I'll be back live on the 6th of September. I hope you tune in. It's going to be a good one. You would not believe how many millions of tons of peanuts are grown, harvested, and sold right here in South Carolina. Anyway, I want to thank Jordan for being here in the studio with me, sharing her perspective. I hope you'll come back.
I will.
You will?
I will.
Good. I have to pay you with another mocha cappuccino coffee or whatever I did today. I hope next time something like the FLW comes in, you'll go. There's James. That's all for another Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Get outside when you can. Be careful. Hunting season's here, guns, extra measure of safety when you're out there with those things. The peanut harvest is on in South Carolina. Travel the back roads. Don't forget to take the camera, and I'll see you next week.